This is member supported. WPFW, Washington.
Good evening, Washington, D.C. and beyond, and welcome to another edition of News Views. My name's Garland Nixon, and I'm right here with my panel.
That's right. Mark Levine. I'm here, as I am every Friday.
Yes, a very thinly manned panel here. We got plenty to talk about. News Views is on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WPFW. We have a lot of great topics, and we will be giving the phone number out to give you the opportunity to speak with us and to weigh in, give us your thoughts on various and sundry issues that we will cover.
Particularly on this one, because you and I disagree on this
yes.
one. So you got to either take Garland's side or my side on this one.
I imagine, a lot of our left-leaning...
I think they're going to agree with me on this one,
maybe, Mark. I'm usually hugging the left, and this time I think a lot of people on the left will be, kicking me in the butt.
I think, based on the front page of the Washington Post today, that Edward Snowden is a hero.
I wasn't sure
until now.
Let's start by... And I think that he's not, so you got him as a hero, I got him as a goat. Mark, make your case why Edward Snowden is a hero, and then I'm going to give out the phone number, and you can make your case why he's a hero or a goat.
So here's the thing. So we have known since 2004 that the government... Or we should have known. If you weren't listening or weren't watching or were listening to Garland and me, you may not know. But it came out in 2004. It was a very big article in the New York Times. It may have been 2005. But under George Bush, that the government was collecting the metadata of hundreds of millions of Americans. What is that? That's everybody, who you called, how long you talked to the person, basically everything you'd see on your phone bill. And the government had all those records. And we know this because back in 2004 and 2005, one phone company, Quest, said no. Every other company, Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, you name it, they said, yes, Mr. Government, we'll do everything. Quest said no, and they fingered the government. And good for Quest, although I don't think they exist any longer.
I don't know if that's a coincidence or not.
But good for them. So Bush was spying on 250 million or so, or 300 million of us, all of us who weren't part of Quest. And we liberals rightly complained at that time and said they shouldn't do that and said that the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, which, as you know, Garland, I carry with me wherever
yeah,
I go.
Right.
Says that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, papers, and effects shall not be violated unless the government has a warrant, probable cause. Proves to a judge you've committed a crime, then they get a warrant.
And we call it Fourth and Fifth Amendment stuff, our right to privacy. But it doesn't really say right to privacy in the
You have the right to be secure
right.
in your papers.
So we refer
and
to
effects.
That because I've had people say to me, it says we have a right to privacy in the Constitution. It doesn't really say that, but I think actually it says more than that.
It does. You have the right to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures unless the government proves upon probable cause that you've done something wrong and then particularly describes what they're searching even. They can't even just say we want a general search on Garland Nixon because we hear he's a squirrely guy. They have to say we want to search Garland's car in the glove compartment.
And a seizure includes a person.
That's
true. The arrest of your arresting you is considered a seizure. That's where you get all your Fourth and Fifth Amendment protections. Particularly Fourth Amendment protections, because when they arrest you constitutionally, that's considered a seizure.
And that's because you have the right to be secure in your person.
Yes.
In yourself. The government cannot grab me unless they have probable cause. They've gone other than exigent circumstances where they see me rob an old woman and they're chasing me.
Right.
But otherwise, if they want to come and arrest me, they go to a judge and get a warrant. Okay. So it's been my view since 2004 that when the government collected all of our telephone data, that's part of our effects. Persons, houses, papers, and effects. Effects is pretty large. The government couldn't do that. And I complained about it at that time. Then George Bush is out of office. Obama does the exact same thing.
I wondered where you were for those 2.5 years that you were missing, Mark.
I have complained about it, and I'm proud of my consistency, because I got to tell you, there are some conservatives that thought it was just fine in 2004, 2005, but as soon as Obama started doing it, they started complaining about it, And there's some liberals who complained about it with me eight, 9 years ago, but then since Obama was doing it, think it's fine now. And I think both of those people are hypocrites.
But if you think about that, that is consistent. They're they're very consistent. When no matter what the issue is, right. If it's your guy, he's wrong. If it's my guy, he's right. Yeah, there's a certain level of consistency there.
A
twisted kind of way.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. So here's what Edward Snowden told us that was new. Because I knew the government had this metadata, and they'd done it under the Patriot Act. And basically, my argument has always been that's unconstitutional. But they've been doing it for a long time. But what Edward Snowden said is there's no oversight. That's the heart of the new stuff that he told us.
Right.
He said, look, the government's been doing this, collecting all this information, but I can just go in, me, 29-year-old IT guy, mm-hmm. I can go in and I can find out who you're talking to, and I can look up all the data, and I can do it without any protection. And when he said that, the president and, more importantly, the National Security Advisor, James Clapper, and all the way down said, no, that's not true. Yes, we admit, you caught us, the government's collecting these hundreds of millions of telephone records of everybody. But if we want to actually look at those records, we need a warrant to particularly describe and search for it. And every time I complained about it, they said, no. Yeah, we collect it all, but we don't actually look at it mm-hmm. without going through all these procedures. Well, now we know from the front page of the Washington Post that Snowden was right. And these authorities were wrong, that actually they made mistakes all the time. They confused Egypt with the country code 20, with Washington, D.C. with the country code 202, and just the Washington, D.C. NSA, notwithstanding all the branches in all over the country, but just right here locally, they looked at 2,700-plus records wrongly. And even worse than that, Garland, is that when they looked at the records wrongly, they didn't report it to their superiors. It mm-hmm. got lost somewhere. The NSA overseers didn't find out. The courts didn't find out. Frankly, I don't think Obama found out. So as far as I'm concerned, Stone was right. He's a hero, and heads need to roll, because I've hated this thing from the beginning, but at the very least, to do the search, they need a warrant. Snowden has proven that they're doing it without a warrant, and I want all those people that did it to be fired, and I want the people that committed perjury about it to go to jail. That's how strongly I feel.
And what do you think that's
very, very minimal, but I'm keeping to my principles.
You're right.
There
are two chances, slim and fat.
Okay. So it's slim. But the point is that Snowden did do his whistleblowing, and the point he made was not that the metadata was being collected, which I said, those of us in the know kind of knew it was happening anyway, but that there aren't sufficient oversight. That's the heart of it. And Obama's trying to fix it. He's trying to put a new privacy guy before the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which I think is a good idea. It would be an adversary proceeding, not just the government saying and the court rubber stamping, but actually having in a courtroom someone that said, hey, maybe you shouldn't take that data. That's a great idea. So that's good for Obama. But the heart of it is when they told us that there was sufficient oversight, like I said, either they were lying or they were misinformed. And I want the government to get to the bottom of this. And to me, this isn't a partisan issue at all. It's the fact that we have this right under the Fourth Amendment, and any president, Republican or Democrat, should keep it. That's my case.
Oh, okay. Let me start by
– make your case.
Let me start by reading a little bit of an article from 2009. Whistleblower. NSA spied on everyone, targeted journalists. Russell Tice, as he told was on Keith Olbermann. He said that the program spied on Americans were not only much spying on Americans were not only much broader than previously acknowledged, but specifically targeted journalists. The NSA, the National Security Agency, had access to all communications, faxes, phone calls, blah, blah, blah. It didn't matter whether you were in Congress in the middle of the country. You never made foreign communications at all. They monitored all communication. So I say this to say this for starters, as just for the record. This is not if you didn't know that the NSA was spying on everyone, then you really either weren't paying attention or really didn't care. But, let me be honest. I wouldn't have to see that to know this, no, Mark.
We both knew it happened.
Yeah.
But the point that I'm
making,
it was clear, that Snowden brought, which was new, mm-hmm. is that there wasn't sufficient oversight. That's
I understand
know.
That, but I just
and
wanted
that's
to,
a new and yeah, important point.
I just wanted to start off by all saying, right. For starters, he didn't come out with startling information. You know, it was kind of a yawner a bit. Everybody knew it. People are freaked out all over again because, you know, and you know something, Mark, here's the sad thing. In 2016, some whistleblower will come out and say Americans are being spied on by NSA, and everybody will, you know, act like they – it's kind of like you ever try to train a dog and you do something, and every time he starts over it like he's never seen it before because he can't really get the concept of
I just think it was a bigger deal this time because when it was exposed back in 04 or 05, and I remember they said
– And
was,
09.
And 09. I remember in 04 and 05. I don't remember so much 09, but they said there was this building, I think in San Francisco, mm-hmm. where like the elevator didn't stop at this floor. It was like floor 12 13 or whatever it was. And some techie, it's always a techie, discovered this whole floor exists where they were spying on everybody.
Well, if you
when that came out, I just remember Bush people, Republicans, saying that's conspiracy talk.
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
Remember in 09 when they said people were like walking around on the floor, you know, like average employees were like walking around with like, you know, people's emails laughing and making jokes about like the average. Remember that?
Oh, I do remember
yeah.
that.
So like just the average schmuck who stands there and answers phones or is like reading over like your email like, oh, will you believe this guy said
and
this?
And that's what's Snowden was telling us
well,
was that there weren't sufficient protections.
Yeah, for the second time.
I mean, I don't think they should grab it anyway. I'm right. against that, period. But even if they were grabbing it, the argument against me was, well, we do use this, we do stop terrorists, and if we actually want to look at it, Obama said this. So we actually want to look at it, we got to get a warrant and, mm-hmm. and look very specifically and things like that.
So let me get to the crux of my argument.
All right.
Let me get to the heart.
Why you don't like my friend Eddie here.
Yeah, let me tell you, and it's not going to be popular, but this is my belief. In my opinion, there is a certain level of accountability. You know, if you work, if let's say I got a job tomorrow working for some intelligence agency, either one of two things, either I'm going to work for them and I'm going to keep classified information classified, or I'm not going to work there. I am not going to go there and say, yep, and fill out all these forms. I will keep classified document, blah, 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 and then run off to stinking China and Russia with a thumb drive full of information off the NSA computer. I don't think that's a hero. Let me finish, Mark.
All right.
Okay. And so my thing is this. Okay. If he had evidence that they were going to machine gun all of the people in Sheboygan, sure. And they're going to throw everybody who's under 5'11", which would include, so unfortunately, both of us, Mark. I'm only 5'10", into internment camps. Well, okay, that's wonderful. But what he exposed to me, it's important stuff, but if they've got, let's say there's at Fort Meade 25,000 people who work at, just for the sake of argument, I don't know what it is, 25,000 people who work at NSA. Do we want, is it okay for all 25,000 people individually to look at the classified information on a daily basis and sift through it and individually determine, well, you know, this is classified, but I think this really should be – and then the next guy down the hall, well, you know, this is classified about al-Qaeda, but people need to know this. Oh, the next guy, well, you know, there was a bomb dropped in 1847. People need to know. And we've got 25,000 leakers, and every one of them has just as good a reason as Edward Snowden. Ultimately, that's my problem with it. I think Edward Snowden breached trust, and I don't believe in doing that unless you have something that if there's some kind of immediate threat to life and limb. Yes, I'm against this. You know, I was with the ACLU. I'll stand on the highest, you know, monument in Washington, D.C. and scream how wrong this is. But I still believe to some level that when I put my name on a piece of paper and say I'm not going to. Expose classified information, that I shouldn't do it.
Let me make
particularly running off to Russia and China. That, you know, just adds a little bit of icing on the cake there, buddy.
I'll get to that part in a minute. But let me make a basic distinction between someone like Snowden, who is imperfect, but I think is
that's a nice way of putting it.
I think that's the worst he is. I think he's a whistleblower. And someone like Stephen Kim. So who's Stephen Kim? Stephen. I don't know how you pronounce his name. S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Stephen Kim used to work for the State Department.
Isn't he the guy that read all those horror novels?
He's the guy. No, he's the guy. That worked with, that's right. He worked with James Rosen of Fox News, and he exposed the fact that we have a secret agent in North Korea. Now, let me tell you something. North Korea is probably the single most difficult country in the world to have a secret agent on the ground high right. up in the government. But we had one. We found out information about North Korea. He told it to James Rosen. James Rosen exposed it. And of course, there was a whole controversy over whether or not we should prosecute the journalist James Rosen. But even though I don't think we should prosecute him, I don't appreciate what Rosen did, and I really don't appreciate what Kim did. Kim took confidential information that we had every legal right to get. We have a legal right to spy on North Korea. I'm glad we're doing it. They have nuclear weapons. They can hit the United States. I'm glad we're spying on that extremely dangerous country with that mad dictator who could harm the whole entire world. I'm glad we're there. And that exposure may well have harmed one of our agents. I'll give you another example, and I'm not sure who exposed it, but someone exposed that we had somebody in Yemen who was finding out about a new bomb that could be used, that could be hidden. It wasn't had no metal in it, a new plastic bomb to be used on an airplane by the same people who gave us the underwear bomber. And in exposing that story, the Associated Press exposed that story. I fear that it may have disrupted our intelligence operation in Yemen, which is an extremely dangerous country where Al-Qaeda has. Those two people who exposed that information, I put them in the traitor category. Garland, I completely agree with you. They shouldn't have exposed that information. What Snowden did is distinct from what happened in Yemen and North Korea. Is Snowden exposed what I believe is lawless conduct. What he exposed is that the government was lying to us. The government was telling us there is sufficient oversight and we are acting within the law. That turns out not to be true. We now know from the front page of the Washington Post, which got its information from Edward Snowden, they make it very clear they got it from him, that even the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court doesn't really oversee this process, even though the president and everyone else said they did, because they said, we only rely on the government.
Yep.
And the government wasn't giving the court the full and accurate information. You know, they told us, I remember, whether like 20 or 30 files were checked. They didn't mention the 2,700 files checked in the Washington, D.C. area alone that were mistaken. They said, well, since we made a mistake, we don't have to mention it. So to me, the difference, the heart of a difference between a whistleblower and a traitor is a whistleblower exposes when the United States government is doing something clearly wrong or lawless. And a traitor is someone who exposes secret information that can harm an operation. And it seems to me that Snowden, on that balance, is, you know, he went to China and Russia because, we shouldn't have pushed him out. We should have said to him, we'll give you immunity, come on in, testify before Congress.
You can't do that.
And I think we can, unless he's committed. No. I don't know that he's committed a crime, because to me, if you're exposing government misconduct, now there are ways he should have done it. He should have, you know, called his boss, the NSA, and said, look, I'm going to the press. And he could do this from the safety of Hong Kong or whatever. I'm going to the press unless you change your policy there. You go up through the chain of command. But eventually, when the chain of command rejected him, which I'm sure they would have done, but he should have gone through it. But if they rejected him, he's got to go to the press. To me, that's no different from the Pentagon Papers or that guy whose name escapes me right now.
Daniel Ellsberg didn't run off to Hong Kong or China or Russia the last time I checked.
Is it the fact that he ran away? Is that really the decision?
No, actually, here's the thing. To me, the guy Stephen Kim, the only difference in what he did is that he did something. You know, it is they did the same thing.
No,
yeah, they did the same thing. There is at least one thing they did that
I don't know. That someone exposed a single agent's name or got a single person in trouble.
This is one thing that this is the way I would interpret that they've done the same thing. Both of them had classified information.
That's true.
And they individually, based on their own moral belief, worldview and their own set of personal individual set of values, determined that they should release classified information in violation of their sworn
So did Daniel Ellsberg.
Right.
That's exactly what he did. Was he a traitor?
No. Well, in my opinion, no. But remember what
What's
I said.
What's the difference between Ellsberg and Snowden?
50,000 people were 55,000. Remember, I said if they're going to, let's say, I don't know, invade a country, such as Iraq. Let's say they're going to machine gun everybody in Sheboygan. I don't know why I keep picking Sheboygan, but it's just such a funny name. How's Schenectady? Kalamazoo is a good food. That's funny, too. So they're going to machine gun everybody in Sheboygan, Schenectady, and Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably think you ought to let that one out. Or you got a war going on. There's a war going on with, there was 50,000, tens of thousands of people and 2 million indigenous people there in Vietnam.
That's
fine.
To that level. Let me give you another example. Frankly, his name escapes me, but some right listener is going to tell us exactly who this is. There was another guy prosecuted by the Obama administration. This was a guy who proved that we were overpaying for our planes, that basically the plane parts cost this much, and due to corruption and scandal in the Pentagon, mm-hmm. we were paying 10, 20 times what we should have paid. No agents involved.
Mm-hmm.
The classified information wasn't about what the planes do. It was about the cost of the part. Mm-hmm. And he was prosecuted. To me, that's classic whistleblower protection. Now, no one was in danger. Sheboygan citizens were safe. No one was going to be killed. But he exposed massive government overcharges. To me, he's a whistleblower who should be protected.
Now, the question is this. How did he go about doing it? Did he expose
it? He went to his superiors first. They turned him down. And then he went to the press. And I forgot his name. I'm going to find it out for him. I'll look it up.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not as sure about that.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, but my opinion is I have an issue with what Snowden did.
I have an issue with what Bradley Manning did. He just did a huge government dump, and it wasn't clear that things were necessarily illegal, and he did a lot more than he needed to expose.
Apparently,
I got more problems with him.
According to my understanding, Snowden had some thumb drives or something with a lot more information, according to some people.
And if he gave those to China or Russia, I'm opposed to that.
If he didn't give them, trust me, they got it. If he had it with him,
hopefully he delivered it to the Washington Post.
If he had it with him, believe me, if he like left his hotel room or if he drank anything, you know, and he was out for 4 hours, you know, unintentionally, you know, gee, I sure slept a long time after that glass of water last night, and why is my room all, you know, where's things all over the place?
I hope he left some of it in the United States with a friend, and that's how. I'm wondering why the Washington Post took so long, and maybe they had to confirm everything, but to come up with this story, because Snowden must have given this information months ago, and it's just a front page story today. I mean, good thing that they took the time to check out their sources.
I'm sure they considered whether or not.
But I wasn't sure about.
They could have sold it on Amazon.com.
when I read today's front page in the Washington Post, that was the difference for me.
So you say he's a hero, and I say he's
the
goat.
I think he's mostly a hero. He's imperfect.
And I think he's mostly a goat.
All right, let's see what our listeners say.
Okay, 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. You're listening to News Views here on WPFW 89.3 FM. You're welcome to call. Call in. Mr. Snowden a hero, or is he? I suspect, Mark, that you're probably going to get a bit more support than
That's
I am.
That's good, because I often don't get support. So come support me and let Garland know that Snowden basically did the right thing. He exposed government misconduct. And you know what? Obama is responding. And Obama's responding only because of what Snowden did.
Right.
And Obama is going to add a privacy advocate before the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good first step. I don't think it's sufficient. But I guarantee you, at Congress, John Conyers, our hero,
yes,
and a libertarian, I forget his first name, Amash is his last name, almost defunded the NSA. They got within like 8 votes of it. That never would have happened without Edward Snowden. So I say Snowden mostly did the right thing.
Oh, do we have any calls? Tesfa, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Tesfa.
How are you, my friend?
We are wonderful. And make sure you speak slowly because the NSA is listening.
Okay. Okay. I would say this. If America imposes dictators, gives the dictators intelligence to find and torture, for example, it was USA who gave the intelligence where Nelson Mandela was.
Well, we don't want to wander too far, though.
Yeah,
we do want to get back to Snowden.
And
we want to find out what your thoughts are. Do you see him as a goat? Do you see him as a hero? How do you see Edward Snowden? Because we don't want to stray too far around the bend away from the subject.
What I'm trying to say is something that goes around comes around. Now, U.S. did it to the citizens of the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Now it's spying on its own citizens. And it's totally wrong. And the U.S. citizens should not allow the U.S. government to get citizens of other countries tortured. Now it came to the United States. And this guy, when his conscience finally told him it is totally wrong, exposed it. He is a hero to the United States. He is a hero to the.
All right, Tesfa agrees with me. He's
thank
a
you,
hero.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tesfa. So we got one here, one mark.
One hero.
One mark, and Garland's losing.
All right, well, hero one, goat zero. Let's take the next call.
Hey there.
Ramey.
Hey, Ramey.
You know the old commercial where one says search is a candy mint, the other one says search is a breath mint, they go stop, you're both right.
Yeah. So he's both a hero and a goat?
I don't think the answer is as simple as yes or no.
I like Eric. That's my kind of answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the police who were serving, who had a search warrant but knocked on the wrong address and went inside and found 2 or 3 kilos of this and a pound of that shouldn't have been there. And the court the high court had to rule whether or not the person could be tried or should the evidence be invalidated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said all that, you're perfectly right in your argument that he signed all these confidentiality agreements for his clearance. Now, having said that, it's no different than, say, working in some high office in the government, going through some CIA files and saying, aha, here's the smoking gun of the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
It really, really was a conspiracy. They say it is. Now, you go back and say, but there's this issue of the confidentiality agreements I have signed. Who does the burden lie on? Are you supposed to keep quiet because you've discovered this? Or are you doing your patriotic duty by going public with this info? And I just want to, I mean, if I can stray a little bit, like you said, Tesla did, bear with me for about 30 seconds.
Okay.
I visited a friend, a coworker. She was a coworker.
Mm-hmm.
She shared her apartment with another coworker who was a male.
Mm-hmm.
They had different bedrooms, and her restroom was inside of her bedroom. His was not. She asked me to use his restroom. You know, it's kind of big. It had magazines and whatnot. I had been missing some items from the office. I had no idea where they were. I went into his restroom, and there were the items. Now, she asked that, sort of like asked that I'd leave them there, because otherwise she would be found out that, you know, I had been there.
Mm-hmm.
I made it clear I was not going to leave the items. I said it was my property. I'm taking it with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious from Mark, and especially from you as being a detective, what do you think the correct thing to have done, would it been okay for me to go ahead and take the items?
Well, I'm not currently a detective. I'm retired. I was a police officer. And at one time I must admit, I was the chief of the investigation division at one point. So, and you know, this is one thing I always say, I like to be self-aware. I like to, as best I can, to be self-aware, and I believe that where you stand often decides where you sit on an issue. And I would think, in all likelihood, Mark, it's probably that the fact that I once was in a position where we had ongoing investigations, and I had to determine what would be released and what wouldn't be released, for what reasons it could hamper an investigation, things of that nature. In all likelihood, that influences the way I look at things.
Here's
you
the
know,
thing.
So
I don't think
certainly that influences the way I look at things, but I still think that
I think you go to him and say, we found this, and if you don't report yourself, we're going to report you.
202-588-0893.
By the way, I found the person. His name was Thomas Drake, the one that I was talking about before, the other whistleblower. But the heart of the issue to me is that if you are exposing misconduct, I do think, by the way, there's a way to do it. For example, I would have liked to have seen Edward Snowden, who I said was imperfect, notify the President of the United States. And
send it to a Congress member.
Say,
how about that?
Send it to Charles Grassley, who's exposed a lot of things. And say, look, send it to a member of Congress and say, and he could do it from a safe place. He could do it from, I don't know, maybe not China or Russia, one of our enemies, but maybe Switzerland or the Cayman Islands or someplace like that. But he should have said, look, if you don't rectify this, I'm going to expose it. And that way, giving them a chance to rectify it. But at the end of the day, what he exposed, as far as I can tell, has not really damaged national security because, as you point out, Garland, we should have known this was going on all along. And the extent that there wasn't oversight, that doesn't help us. The lack of oversight doesn't help us fight terrorism at all.
Yeah.
It simply harms our privacy. So to me, he was exposing government misconduct, not appropriate conduct, which is why I give him very different place than I give Stephen Kim or anyone else who allegedly outed one of our spies.
Yeah.
Oh, or Dick Cheney, for that matter,
who
outed Valerie Plame.
You know,
I consider him a traitor.
Yeah, I guess I'm somewhat cynical, too. I mean, if you know the history, COINTELPRO, J. Edgar Hoover, that this was routine. What's going on now is routine. So maybe part of it also is that I'm so cynical that I expect that we're being illegally wiretapped and watched.
But did you think there was this little oversight?
To the point where I feel like it's routine. I think think about a Hoover. He wouldn't. If, yeah, you know how Hoover would deal with it. He would black. He would actually tap.
Sure.
He would bug the people who could take action against him.
That's
he'd
right.
bug their phones and blackmail them. If there was a judge that was going to come after him, he'd probably have blackmailed the judge, and no doubt at some point did.
No doubt, but the J. Edgar Hoover is gone, thank God. And
the spirit of J. Edgar Hoover,
I believe,
lives on in NSA.
This nation to a higher standard. And let me ask you this: you and I both knew this metadata was being collected, Garland. We talked about it before, but did you know there was so little oversight? I mean,
I didn't suspect there was a lot of oversight.
That's the part that Snowden proved, and when he said it, that's the part the government said, "Well, he's wrong about that lack of oversight." Well, no, it turns out he was right, and the government was
Remember,
wrong.
Remember, I'm cynical, so I expect that it's much worse than okay. than he's even. Exposed. I automatically suspect that what he's told us is just the tip of the iceberg.
So why has he done anything wrong? Because of him, we're having this conversation right now. Because of him, hundreds of millions of Americans are able to evaluate whether this is a good program or not. Good for him, good for democracy.
So you know what, Mark? So what we've got is this, an issue where both of us agree that there are circumstances in which a person should do what Edward Snowden did.
That's right.
It's there. This is just a matter of degree.
You think it has to be basically death?
I think it has to be the consequences have to be much more severe before you do that.
To me, violating the constitutional rights of 300 million Americans, that is, it's not death, but it's pretty severe and needs to be explained.
No, I think it's unfortunate. You know, the old cynical Garland, I think it's a yawner. I think it's routine. I think you are naive if you don't believe that all they've right. been doing this ever since they had the technology to do it and worse and that they're going to continue. But
Do we have another caller? We have to take a break. Okay, at the break, we have 1.5 hero and half a goat.
Right, and we've got some callers hanging on. Alan, we'll get to you. We're going to take a break. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C., 202-588-0893, Garland Nixon and Mark Levine, every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome back to WPFW 89.3 FM, Garland Nixon and Mark Levine here, and we are talking about Edward Snowden. Is he a goat? Is he a hero? And thanks to Mr. David Kelly, who is over there on that big blinky box thing with all the sliders. What's that called, Mark?
The board.
This is so technical that, I mean, you know, I really can't figure this out. So he's over there on that big thing called the board. And if it wasn't for David Kelly.
If they're spying you, Garland, they're not learning anything.
Yeah, they're.
You have no idea
you're
what
right.
you're doing.
Yeah, I have no information, Mark. Zero. And if it weren't for David Kelly, let me show you what you'd hear. This is what you'd hear. That'd be it. If David Kelly weren't over there making things happen, there would be nothing but dead airspace. No, there would just be dead, nothing, zero. Okay.
Let's get to our call.
202-588-0893. We're talking Edward Snowden. Alec, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Alec.
Hey, this is Alec. How's you guys doing?
Wonderful.
We're good. So what do you think about Snowden?
Well, I love your show, guys. I got to tell you, fellas, I'm on the other side of this thing, man.
Okay.
And let me give you a couple of things that you are. Now, nobody I know that I've been talking to sees anything wrong with this thing. I mean, the best analogy I've ever get is someone said, well, it's very similar to you driving up the highway in your car. The police is over here with the radar gun to tell who's speeding. Now, he doesn't know who's in each car until he catches a speeder. So my problem is, I say, yes, Snowden is definitely, you know, needs to go to trial or something, or prison. Because I feel less safe. Now he's giving terrorists reason to change their tactics.
Well, Alec, let me argue with you a little
bit.
How do
we know who's a terrorist if we're not Watching who's calling me?
Alec, let me argue with you a little bit and see if you still disagree with me, which you probably do. When you are speeding in your car, you are committing a crime. It's a minor crime. It's an infraction, but it is against the law to go over the speed limit, and the cop has every right to stop you. The Fourth Amendment to the Constitution says they can stop you. They can spy on you. They can do whatever they want as long as they have probable cause to believe you've committed a crime. If you're speeding, that's a crime. But what the government is doing is they have, when you call your mother, Alec, or your wife, or whomever you call, the government has a record of that somewhere. They have a record of all my phone calls, all Garland's phone calls, and we've done nothing wrong.
Well, let me throw this in there, Mark, and okay, I'll let you talk next, Alec. Let me throw this in here, Mark. Okay, so the cop stands there with a speed gun pointing at every car.
Right.
He's not just pointing at the cars that speed it.
That's fine.
So you go by at 52, 53, 54, 55.
He hasn't learned anything about me.
Car. He sees the guy go by at 78 in a 55-mile zone,
right.
And he pulls over.
That's right.
Okay, Alec.
That's my point. So if I'm not speeding, I don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, but we found out from Snowden.
I'm not calling Yemen or wherever, you know, not Yemen, but I'm just saying, if I'm not making suspicious calls, why is there a need to look up my number and come knock down my door with the black helicopter?
Well, they are looking up your number, even though you've done nothing wrong. And we know from Snowden, they looked up at least 2,700 numbers in the Washington, D.C. area alone in a three-month period that they had no right to look up. And that's just, like I said, Washington, D.C. and 3 months, or I think it's a year. But it's much larger than that. That's the problem. It's to me, it's like the stop-and-frisk policy in New York City. They are basically looking up privacy data, just like New York is stopping and frisking
people far different.
That have done nothing wrong. And to me, in order to search, whether you search someone's body or whether you search someone's papers or effects, I rely on my Fourth Amendment. You got to have probable cause to believe they've committed a crime. I stand by my Constitution.
Yeah, but that's far
but I will give Garland the vote from you, Alec. It's 1.5 goats to 1.5 heroes.
Well, just one last quick point, I'm going to let you guys go. But,
okay.
See, with this telephone thing, I mean, people in America, we can't, you know, you got to give up some degree of freedom, I think, to increase your security.
Yeah, but Alec, if you believe there's a terrorist, you go to a court and you say, hey, I believe this guy's a terrorist, and you look at his phone calls.
But the point you're missing is you have to have a way to find out who to suspect. Just like the cop has to have a way to find out who's going faster than 55.
All right, thanks
so
a lot.
The last thing I would say is, okay, let's say we don't have this program anymore, right, which seems to be where we're going, okay? Now, if they don't have it, let's say that the good people in the government make a mistake and knock down my door or knock down whoever's door to say, hey, we think you're a terrorist. What do you think the first thing a lot of people are going to say? No, I'm not a terrorist. You made a mistake. If you want, check my phone records. You'll see. I haven't been calling anybody.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex.
I appreciate what Alex said.
That was a nice alternative perspective, wasn't it, Mark?
I appreciate what Alex is saying. What I'm saying is, actually, there's very little evidence that this program actually has stopped any terrorists. The ones that we stopped have all been stopped from other data as well.
And you know, Alec, the great thing about Alex's call was this. It demonstrates how varied the perspectives are.
Oh, yeah. People have strong disagreements about this.
Yeah, there are people who are, up in arms. Mm-hmm. There are people like me who are so cynical that they don't think that the government has ever stopped spying on us or ever will. And so we're kind of, what's the term I'm looking
for? Inured to it.
Yes. And we kind of feel, powerless to stop it. What are you going to do? Let me go on about my life and do something. You know, God, the serenity prayer, to know the difference between things I can change and can't.
Let's go to Abdul, because I want one more vote for a hero.
Abdul's got the answer.
Go ahead, Abdul.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
We hear you fine.
Welcome to WPFW.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. Basically, I agree with
Mark
Levine.
Boo! Win 2.5 to 1.5.
Boo!
All right.
Okay.
The reason why is that I understand you, Garland. I think you're a bit naive, though. But I understand you. The issue to me is that I, as a citizenry and the public, I appreciate knowing the wrong things our government is doing. And I think Snowden may come off as a hero to many people in respect that we are a gullible public. We're lied to, and we're not always informed of everything. So if my rights are being violated and I might not be aware of it in some type of way, I appreciate knowing that. And one of the things I'm looking at, I could be wrong, but my observation listening in on phone calls with the American public, I think has to do less with trying to find out or detect terrorism as it is to detect dissent in America. Because there are a lot of people who do not agree with things that this government is doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do with trying to find out and knowing insurgency, or if I'm using that word correct, mm-hmm. or dissent. Things that that they're very, I think they're very concerned about. So mm-hmm. basically, it's just like you don't have to always agree to do something when you take oath or when you are pledged to keep something secret. When you find out that something is being done wrong,
I agree with you, Abdul. I think Mark, I agree with you too. The question is how significant does it have to be before you breach that, before you breach your promise that you wouldn't let out any classified information? That's the only question here. Yes, I agree with
and
you
I don't
and
think
Mark,
it can be minor.
But it's how much.
I don't think it can be minor. I don't think it can be that, you know, you're violating procedure by, you know, putting the wrong something in the wrong box or something like that, or misstating things. But when it's as severe as violating 300 million Americans' Fourth Amendment rights, to me, that's enough. It doesn't require someone's life to be in danger.
Okay, we've got Kelly next. Kelly, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. First of all, Snowden, when you sign those confidentiality agreements, I mean, that's really so that you're not trading, you know, for profit. That wasn't for profit. This was he acted on his conscience. And even if it's
I think I got another vote, Garland.
I don't like the way this is going,
true.
Mark.
Keep going, Kelly.
Okay, Kelly.
That that he was
he did it for his country. He did it because he thought it was right. He didn't do it for any profit.
But what we didn't know is that there that we not only that the government did it, just because we know that the government's doing it, we're cynical, and we know the government's doing it. That doesn't make it right.
I mean, agreed.
That just offends me. Period. Are we still living in the United States of America? You know, if it's not United States of America, please let us know, because in my country, where I was brought up, our government doesn't do that.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Let me ask you a question, Kelly. What country were you brought up in? Because it sure was the United States of America. I was brought up in the United States of America. If you don't think the U.S. was doing this, look up this term, COINTELPRO.
Jarlin, just because they were doing it doesn't make it right. Look, we had segregation for 100 years, but it was still outlawed under the 14th Amendment. And it took Joe Brown to find that's true. So just because something existed for 100 years or 300 years, like slavery, does not make
it
right.
I'll let you talk again, Kelly.
We haven't had 300 million people's phone calls monitored, ever.
Yeah, right. And here's
what we did,
go ahead, Kelly.
What also Snowden did was that not only the government has access to this, but boneheads from Booz Allen.
That's true.
Have access to
private contractors.
And they can
good
do
point.
Anything they want with it.
Good point.
Private There's contractors. Private contractors running all around in SA from one end to the other.
But
you know.
She has a good point. It's not just government.
And Homeland Security. So, you know.
But my point I'm making to you, Kelly, is this, and I think, and a lot of people, you know, the old saying, there's a history and there's the illusion of a history. A lot of things that we say about the free and the brave and the home of the free and brave were never true. An example is you said, well, this isn't the country that I grew up in. Well, it really is. This really is what the U.S. did now. And I would make this statement.
But that's no justification.
We want the country to live in a country that doesn't do that.
Right.
And I'm all for a country that doesn't do that. And a country shouldn't do that. And I'm with you guys 100%. I'm not saying that I don't agree 100% with you and Mark. On the issue, all I'm saying is, well, let's not believe that this is America and we don't do this. Instead, I think we should say, this is America, this is what we do, this is what we've always done, and we need to find a way to stop it.
And this is what we shouldn't do,
right.
Exactly. And we still have to uphold, if we're not going to have these illusionary beliefs, then don't say we have it.
Amend the Constitution.
Don't say it's because of our freedom, don't be
because
of liberty. then just say you're living in a totalitarian country and there's nothing you can do about
it. Well, I don't think it's one or the other. I don't think that you know just that it's a totalitarian. It is an imperfect representative democracy.
It's an unconstitutional violation as far as I'm concerned. And that's severe enough. It doesn't require a totalitarianism to say it's wrong and it should be stopped. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you very much.
3.5 to 1.5, Garland.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing about it is I won't go that far. Grant, it's a democracy, representative democracy to some democracy to some extent. The only problem, it's only representing the 1% now, so we could call it a corporatocracy. But at any rate, what I'm saying is I'm not going to say because the U.S. does that, we are living in an autocratic monarchy, whatever the case may be, dictatorial.
You don't have to go that
government.
Far, but it's still wrong. And
yeah,
I praise Edward Snowden for exposing him.
Right.
Good for him.
Let's
get to the next caller.
Next caller. I believe it is Randall. Randall, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Randall.
I think Snowden is a traitor.
Oh, that's your side, Garland.
I think that he ought to be assassinated.
Well, now,
assassinated? Whoa.
Okay, well, we got it. We'll hear you out.
Go ahead, Randall.
Simply because you all are speaking from a perspective that no attacks happened. And if they had happened, you would be then asking for a way to stop the attacks. And I think just collecting data that they're not looking at unless they have a reason is kind of benign. And I just think that, people on their high horse. But look at, you don't complain about that. Well, maybe people are starting now. But I'm African American. I've been pulled over by cops for really stupid things and have had guns put in my face and all this. My rights are constantly being violated.
But I do complain about that, and I am against that. And we know from Snowden that it wasn't just innocent looks. I mean, they were making mistakes and looking at thousands of Americans' data that they shouldn't have been looking at.
If they now look at the data, they only collected it, and then will look at it when there's a reason. So that's you are being irresponsible by saying that.
Well, Randall, and I think Randall represents, a couple callers ago, and as I said, there's a perspective out there. There's a certain percentage of the population who says, look, if you got to do certain things to, stop terrorism, there are a certain percentage of people that are okay with it. I'm not saying that I'm one of them because I'm not, but I'm saying that it's not an irrational argument. It's not an unreasonable argument. I don't necessarily agree with it. Are you still there, Randall?
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad you're having this discussion, but I really think that man, he only worked with that program for 3 months. He really didn't have probably enough time to make a fair judgment.
Well, Randall, the point that he was making, and I'll give the point to Garland, it's 3.5 to 2.5, but the point that Snowden was making was not just that this collection was existing, because as I said, Garland and I have talked about this before, we talked about it under Bush, but that there was no oversight, that basically any old IT guy could go in and find out, Randall, your private conversations with your girlfriend or whomever you're talking to, and that's the problem, that there wasn't sufficient oversight, and I give Snowden credit because he pushed the President of the United States to give us more protections, and good for Snowden for doing that.
Garland says, I agree with you that what he's doing is not anything that I agree with, that I oppose it, etc., but my position is that I don't think it rose to the level that he should have violated his trust.
What
to
should
maintain-
he have done? Should he have just stay quiet, Garland? Should he have told somebody?
Should he have written
a letter to the president?
I think he should have, stayed with him. But
what would you do in that situation?
I wouldn't have let it out.
Would you tell nobody? Wouldn't tell
I'd probably say something to my superior? Discuss it with my superiors. But if they said no, Garland, we're not going to do it. I wouldn't. No, I would not expose it. Now, if they were going to machine gun the people, remember in Kalamazoo, or even put them in detention camps. Yes, if they were threatening the life and limb of our citizens, yes. But if they were, listening to checking their texts, I probably wouldn't go to that extent.
And what about the guy that exposed the fact that that the Pentagon was way overspending? There was this Trailblazer program, and it didn't work. And what did he do? He exposed Thomas Drake. He exposed that the government was spending $1 billion to help some corrupt contractor rather than spend taxpayer money wisely.
So
no one's dying. No one's dying.
So basically, that's the equivalent of exposing the fact that the ocean is blue. Oh, okay, but do we have another caller? No other calls. 202-588-0893.
Help me out, folks. It's 3.5 to 2.5. I'm only ahead by 1 point.
World of deep and serious trouble, buddy.
So we got to see which side you're on. So if you want to, you know, make your voice heard and help.
Yeah, if you're out there and you're with Mark and you think that Snowden's a hero, even though it may cost me dearly, 202-588-0893.
And if you're with Garland and you think he's a traitor, then go ahead and call.
I didn't say a traitor. I said a goat.
A goat. What does that mean, a goat?
You ever used to watch Charlie Brown?
What does that mean?
That was like when somebody, you know, hit the ball out to center field and it would hit Charlie Brown's glove and drop on the ground and he'd lose the game.
That's
and they'd say,
goat?
You're the goat. You're the schmuck.
Incompetent? What is
kind
it?
Of a schmuck.
A schmuck. A jerk.
Yeah. It's kind of a, I guess, a combination of an idiot and a jerk, but an irresponsible idiot jerk.
So it's irresponsible.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
We're talking. Now
you're saying he was irresponsible.
I will say
he's imperfect, so I'm not going to call him, you know, he's not the greatest hero in the world, but I think what he's done to this country is more of a service than a harm. He's done more good than bad. That's the heart of my argument.
So you think he's done more good
And you think
than
he's done more bad than
no,
good?
No, I don't. I think what he's done is good. I think, see, that's where we go. I think what he has done is good. I'm just saying that I don't agree with him doing it. John, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Wonderful.
Which side do you come down on here?
I'm going to go with Garland.
Oh, tie game. 3.5 to 3.
You are hurting, Mark.
Tie game. Tell us why, John.
Well, look, you got to say, man, I'm 73 years old. Let me tell you about it. And I'm black.
Okay.
That's not, you got to give me more than that.
Or more than that?
Yeah.
Well, how about the police officer blacks in New York City, the Latino?
I'm opposed to that, aren't
you? No, it's horrible.
I hear you're opposed, but I'd rather for them to stop doing that to worry about who's listening to me talk on the telephone.
I want them to stop all of that. It's not either or. Both are unconstitutional.
Yeah, you might say, as a black person, we got bigger fish to fry. You know, we got to stop them from, like, grabbing us on the street.
They're
and, you
both
know,
wrong.
Going through our pockets
hello,
first.
Hello, I'm not even serious to my telephone call. I do not care. You know, if it keeps my airplane from crashing into my house, I'm good to go, brother. But it don't stop the cops from picking me up on the street with a gun in my face, searching me.
Well, I'll tell you this. I was very proud of the judge, Janet Scheinlin, I think was her name, in New York City for stopping the clearly unconstitutional stop and frisk program there, where 83% of the people that were stopped, whether black or Latino, clearly unconstitutional, clearly a violation of the 14th Amendment, and she did the right thing. And I don't think it's either or when it comes down to our civil rights.
Right.
I think it's both and we should protect all of our civil rights, whether it's the right not to be stopped on the street or the right to privacy, all of those rights.
But, you know, and I wonder that, too, because, you know, as a black person, you know, the thought is, I guess, maybe a little more immediate, a little more proximate, you know, to us where somebody's, you know, where you got to worry about somebody saying, let's see, you're a black person walking down the street. Ah, that's evidence that a crime has been committed. I think I'll go over there and stop and frisk you. So I don't know.
But no one's offending racial profiling, but you can't say that because this injustice exists. It's okay that this other
no,
injustice
I'm not, but
exists.
I'm but you know what? And I wasn't a big Bloomberg fan, but I was okay with Bloomberg before that, and now
he's good on
I
guns.
Absolutely can't. So he's not going to now. He's out. I can't stand Bloomberg. I don't want anything to do with him. To me, anybody that would perpetrate this kind of a wrong, to look at one group of people, I don't care what the group is, and say, well, you know, let's face it, 99% of all the Klan, you know, 100% of all the Klan members are white. So you know what? Let's go search every white person and see if they've got a Klan ID. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
but that people, you're in a high risk crime area, so we're going to search you. No, you search someone when you. Here we go with the Fourth Amendment again. Have probable cause to believe someone's committed a crime, period. That protects
right.
us from search and from stop and frisk, mm-hmm. just like it protects our privacy. The same, you know, the founders made a lot of mistakes, but they got the Fourth Amendment right.
And here's the next thing. If you say, well, you're in a high-risk crime area or more African-Americans or Latinos or people of color are more likely to be committed this crime or whatever the case, well, I'm more likely to be a victim, too.
That's true.
So now you're going to victimize me twice.
That's
I'm
true.
Walking through here. I got to worry about getting stuck up. But no, not only do I have to worry about getting stuck up, I got to worry about the cop coming over, feeling me from head to toe, detaining me, pushing me up against the wall. So now I am victimized twice. There is nowhere for me to hide. The criminal wants to shoot me and take me away, and the cop wants to grab me and frisk me.
You know, we have a tie game. It's 3.5 to 3.5.
That's why I'm filibustering, hoping we can get to 7 o'clock before you get another point.
We're going to see if we get one more call.
David Kelly's over there.
Actually, because, folks, you can make the difference here and determine
yeah,
whether or not Edward Snowden is a hero or a goat. We got 7 minutes, 202-588-0893, and it's a tie game.
Ahmed, welcome to WPSW.
Hi, Ahmed.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. Whose side are you on here?
I think that Snowden is a hero.
Woo-hoo! Oh, I'm up a point.
He's courageous, and he made, like, the ultimate sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the public, a common take that people are having is a sense of denial. They think, well, it's just a phone call. They devalue it. It's just a phone call. I don't care. I'm not talking about anything. But it's a simple phone call today. But all that information, when you aggregate it, that's power, you know?
Sure.
And you really need to trust the people who hold the information.
They know where you are. They know where you are when you're making the call. They know who you're talking to. They know who your friends are. If you're part of a group that opposes the government on whatever issue, they know that you're talking to these other 25 people who also oppose the government on that same issue. It's dangerous information, and particularly the fact that Snowden pointed out that you didn't have to have a warrant to go sifting through it. Any old guy, tech guy could do it. That is something I agree with you. We're 4.5 to 3.5, Garland. You better hope you get a call in the last 5 minutes.
The lights, who do we have next?
Okay, thank you, Ahmed. We're going to get a few more calls just to see if Garland can get caught up in the tally.
Barry, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Barry.
Hi. Listen, I've got to say that I think this guy could have done this differently.
All right.
Pretty much, and I think he really – there's a kind of responsibility that goes with being the NSA. Everybody knows NSA is a group that does the dirty work that nobody wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there's some sensitive things they're doing over there. But 3 months into the deal to see this and not to really explore it or to digest it or to find a way to bring this out differently, I think really may have exposed us unnecessarily to some risk.
Yeah.
These are different times.
Well, I accept that he's imperfect, but I need to know whether you're giving half a point to each of us or all the points to Garland. Is he a hero or a goat or half and half?
Now, I got to say he's wrong.
All right, you get the point, Garland.
Yeah, they're...
And I got to say that these are different times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of hatred that we built up around the world is, and the technology that's available, it's a different picture.
Yeah,
I still think you need a warrant.
When you're working in an organization like the NSA, there's a level of sensitivity and responsibility that you should really maintain.
Yeah, and that's I'm with you.
If there aren't channels at the NSA to bring this out differently, and that's a mistake, and maybe that's where the correction should take place. But to bring it out like this,
to expose
whatever he's exposed.
Barry, I will agree with you that he should have gone through his channels first, that he should have gone to the NSA, he should have gone to Congress, he should have gone to the President of the United States. I'll agree with you there. But the heart of the problem is that this thing was unexposable, that they couldn't bring it to the courts, that even the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court didn't know what was going on. That's a real problem when you have no place to go. And to me, that's the heart of what a whistleblower does. Yeah. A whistleblower has no place to go. They've got to go to the press. Do we have one last call?
No, I think we're running out of time.
No
here.
Way. It's a tie. Wait, yeah, can we get one more caller?
We've got our next group on hold.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
no more callers? All right, tie game. I guess I'll accept the tie. Fair enough. Edward Snowden is half hero, half goat, Garland. We'll accept half and half here. We have another caller? No?
No.
All right.
Mark, our outro song, that's my favorite musician,
that's
Shaz.
Right. That's right.
Every week. I got to play some Shaz on the way out so people can hear some good keyboards. So tell me, Mark. If someone wants to get in touch with you,
sure.
How would they go about it? After today, probably, I'm thinking Guantanamo Bay.
Probably. go to marklevinetalk.com. I actually have just argued this Snowden point on TV today.
Okay.
You can find out there. You can follow me on Twitter at @MarkLevineTalk, or please join my fan page on Facebook, MarkLevine. Talk to me. Let me know what you're thinking.
Great. And if you want to get in touch with me on Twitter, @GarlandNixon. That was an easy one to get. Not a lot of Garland Nixons. Facebook me, Garland Nixon, GarlandNixon, or email me, GarlandN@gmail.com. Mark and I are right here. The show is News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. on WPFW 89.3 FM. Next, Robin's Place with Robin Holden and Carol Tyson. And
join us next week. Same time, same channel.
That's right. And now you're going to get some really, after my favorite song, you're going to get some really, really good music. So do not change your dial because you got the real good stuff coming on Robin's Place.
89.3 FM.
This is member supported.
WPFW, Washington.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything's starting to hum.